We are back.
We're back,
I'm
baby.
I'm Curly Humphrey.
I'm Corey Russell.
And this is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival
and the Return of the Lord.
Season 7. Here we go. We are so excited to be back with you and get rolling in Season 7. We're going to announce what we're going to be talking about in a moment. But before we do that, we want to shout out a few countries where we're ranking. Slovakia, showed up again.
Yes, we see you, Slovakia.
Germany, Brazil, South Africa, and then our friends to the north, Canada.
Canada.
We appreciate Australia. But it's been a mind-blowing thing for us because literally started in my basement. And we just did the quick research on our metrics and our numbers. We've had 650,000 streams across YouTube and Spotify and the online listening audience. And so literally we were like, hey, let's do a podcast.
That's
we did
it.
Like the millennial thing, but even though we're not millennials, and we jump into this podcast and it starts sparking everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we want to hear your testimonies. If you've got a testimony about this season or a previous season, send it in. We'd love to hear it. It encourages us, strengthens our hearts.
Yeah, I remember it was 2020, and I think we were in the middle of COVID, and I just began to feel this desire. I want to do something with my buddy.
Yeah.
I want to do something with my buddy, get into a room, push play, and just every time we get together, sparks fly.
Every time.
Fire, spirit of prayer, revelation hits, and we jumped in, man. I'll never forget being in your basement that first year and the journey we've been on. I mean, my goodness, this is season 7.
Season 7.
We've been in six seasons, 650,000 views, streams through
listens.
All the way through. I just want to say thank you to you
Absolutely.
Guys. I mean, in our first season, we took our first season, which was on revival, which is the big burden for us. And we turned it into a book. We called it Reclaiming Revival.
Yes.
Giving a vision for restoration of historic awakening in our generation.
And I remember when the book dropped on Amazon, and you can still get it on Amazon, but for that first several weeks, it was number one in the category of charismatic Christian and like spiritual awakening.
Yes.
I was like, what? And that's all you. That's all of our GRIP family that's out there that's been jumping in. And so it's been an awesome ride. And I said this to Corey in February. I said, the number one thing that I hear from people whenever I travel is they've got some testimony from Gripped.
Yes.
They've got something where they were listening to Gripped in their car, or they were listening to, you know, in their kitchen, and the Lord invaded wherever they were at and just blew them up in that place. And so our disclaimer is, if you're listening to Gripped, pull your car over.
Yes. It's called Grip for a reason. Something's going to happen on the inside of you. And you might have to pull your car over. You might not need to be cutting hair if you're a barber or whatever else you're doing. Guys, I really feel like I'm excited about this season.
Absolutely.
And it's just keeping with the same flow. God's going to meet us.
Yes. So our topic for this season 7 is going to be the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
It is Jesus' first public sermon. It's the longest of his sermons recorded in Scripture. But for me, it's the message of revival.
Absolutely.
The Sermon on the Mount is the message of revival.
Absolutely. I call it the wineskin for revival.
Yes.
Jesus comes out in Matthew 4. He comes out of the wilderness testing, and then he hits Galilee like a storm.
Yeah.
He's preaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing, teaching, and the crowds are amassing.
Yeah.
He's preaching about repentance.
Yes.
But he hasn't told us what that looks like.
Right.
He gets everyone to the Mount of Beatitudes. And I was there in Israel a year ago.
Yeah,
and I got to preach this.
Yes, yes.
It was one of the, you know, big bucket list moments. But the thing that blows me away, Jesus, the Matthew 5, goes and sits up on the mountain. The disciples are gathered to him. And then he opens his mouth.
Yes.
Now that he's got them there, he goes, I want to do more than just touch you. I want you to build individual structures and corporate structures that can house my glory.
Yes.
That can house my kingdom.
Yes.
And be conducive with the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
That's what it did to me.
For me, you know, the thing about the Sermon on the Mount is it's what Corey just said. When you start any kind of a study on the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount itself is in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, but you have to start in Matthew 4.
That's right.
Because Jesus comes out of the wilderness, having been through the wilderness testing 40 days and nights, fasting and prayer, being tempted of the devil. He comes out in the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
And as Corey said, he hits the whole region like a storm. And he's got one message. And that message is repent,
yes,
for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And
yes,
you have to catch that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is it's the answer to that question, basically, he's posing.
What is repentance?
Yeah, what do you mean I have to change? So repentance, I have to change my mind.
Yes.
Because it's not the way you thought it was. And that's what he's saying. He's going, it's not the way you thought it was. Repent. Change how you're thinking. Change the way you're living. Change what you're doing. Let your actions show a change. Because here's something that's happened. The kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. That at hand, that's a Jewish idiom. The Jews would say if something was in front of you, they'd say it's at the face.
Wow.
If they were saying it's behind you, they'd say it's at the back. For them to say it's right here, right now, they'd say it's at the hand. So when Jesus shows up and says the kingdom is at hand, he's literally saying the one that has been prophesied by Daniel, by Moses, from the very Garden of Eden, the one that's bringing the kingdom of God, the hero of the whole story, he is here right now. John the Baptist says, I'm pointing to him. I'm not him.
Yeah.
I'm pointing to him, but Jesus says the kingdom is here. And then he testifies that what he's talking about is absolutely true with signs, wonders, miracles, and revival explodes across all Judea.
Yes.
And so when the crowd gets, you know, massive, the gathering is huge, and they're coming from as far north as Samaria, all over the region.
Decapolis, the whole region.
He gathers everybody that outside of Capernaum, and he sets them all down on that mountain,
yes,
out there, and he begins to unpack the treatise of the kingdom of God. That's what Corey's talking about when he's saying the structures need to be built by a pattern, and the pattern isn't any of these world systems. It's not any of these natural worldly patterns. It's by the pattern of the values and the culture of the kingdom of God. And I love how Jesus does, because in the middle of revival, he always releases timeless truths.
Yes.
In
yes.
the middle of the gathering, when the interest is peak, when the power of God is hitting at the greatest extent, he's always going to drop bombs that are, they're the pilings, they're the anchors to everything we need to understand. And when we're looking into the Sermon on the Mount, that's what's going on there. It's not just, oh, Jesus' first public sermon, or oh, the Beatitudes or something. It is the absolute treatise of the kingdom of God. And for me, and let's just talk about, yeah, for a minute, like when we first got like introduced to it and just how it kind of, I know for me, it rocked my world.
Absolutely.
So it's like 2005, and I start looking at the Sermon on the Mount, like for the first time in my life, I like slow down and start reading it real slowly, and letting each of the words just sort of wash over me. I start looking at the values. I start looking at the corrections. You've heard it said, but I say. I start looking at the foundations of the thing. He's laying out these righteous foundations where he's telling us how to live. And then the cautions and the exhortation that Jesus, and this value system, this culture he's laying out. And I start looking at it, and I realize, oh my goodness, my Christian charismatic culture, my Christian, charismatic Christian culture doesn't look like any of this.
Yes.
It's completely opposite. Jesus' values are perpendicular to my own life. It was different from my own personal culture that I grew up with, and then it was so different from the Christianity that I'd begun to live and practice and promote. I was in shock. I was messed up,
yeah,
because I was like, oh my gosh, I need to like really repent,
yeah,
and change the way I think, change the way I live, change my whole value set.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Heaven's my throne, earth's my footstool. Where's the house you're going to build me?
Yeah.
So the Lord is looking at, and God, who has Genesis 1 on his resume, surrounded with 10 billion angels, says there is the kind of person and people that attracts my gaze. He says, on this one will I look.
Yes.
On him who is poor of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. And I remember that was the thing that got me into this whole thing is Jesus has everyone's attention. Mm-hmm. And most of the time when we get into revival, we just talk more about revival.
Yes.
Jesus takes the pinnacle of the move of God, and I would say the height of his breakout.
Yes.
And chooses this message at this time to this people.
Yes.
To say, I want to do more than just touch you with it. I want you to build places to hold my glory. And guys, I believe that God, one of our big reasons of doing it this season, we believe that's the core that's driving through our
Absolutely.
Whole gripped for revival and the return of the Lord. I believe, we believe
yes.
that the way to build personal and corporate revival is by embracing Matthew 5, 6, and
Absolutely.
7.
Absolutely.
That is how you host, you draw, you attract the glory and the spirit of revival is by embracing, not just hearing, but as we see in Matthew 7, doing it.
Absolutely.
Beginning to go on the awkward journey and seeing the gap between your professions and your reality.
Yes.
And seeing these things melded into your life. We believe it is the magnet for revival.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the thing about the core, we call them the core values. They're known as the Beatitudes. They're probably some of the most recognizable Bible verses.
Yes.
In all of Scripture.
Yes.
I mean, you've got the high point. You have Psalm 23, very recognizable. John 3:16, very recognizable. The Matthew 5, the core values, are at that same
level.
Oh,
absolutely.
Level. They're extremely well-known and extremely poorly lived.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, when I first got into this, and I was in that confrontation in my own soul, like, poor in spirit, I don't even know what that is. I've never been taught
yes.
to be poor in spirit. In fact, I've been taught being poor was a bad thing.
Yes.
I need to not do that.
Yes.
Mourning. I'm not trying to mourn. I want to be rejoice and be
everything
glad.
That our whole system is built on is about insulating us from mourning.
Yes.
Our poverty of spirit.
Yeah. How do we get, you know, excited? How do we get, you know, filled with joy? How do
yes.
we get built up? As I begin to walk through those values, which we're going to do in the coming episodes, as I begin to walk through them, not only was I confronted, I realized, oh, there's a confrontation coming to Christianity.
Yes.
There's a confrontation coming to American Christianity. There's a confrontation coming to charismatic Christianity. The things that we valued, the things that we've promoted, and even now, I remember this is 20 years ago, getting just blindsided with the revelation that Jesus' values do not look like the values of the Christianity that I know and love.
Yeah.
It don't look like what I've been practicing, and it's not just me. It's all of us.
It's all of us.
And our whole setup doesn't value the things he values. We don't love what he loves. We don't hate what he hates. And I started getting just this deep understanding that a collision is coming. And if it was coming 20 years ago, it's coming even more now. And there's a collision of kingdoms. And where the church has embraced the value system that's not Jesus' value system, his value system is going to crash in upon it. And that collision is not going to see that, oh, American Christianity has stood the test. No. He is going to bring his values, and that collision of kingdoms is going to cause his kingdom to rise and every other kingdom
yes.
to fall. And he literally tells us to pray that in Matthew 6.
That thy kingdom come.
Your kingdom come.
Yes.
He's like laying out the values and then telling us to ask for the values in the kingdom to be released. But here's what we don't get. It is going to be disruptive when Jesus' values, when Jesus' kingdom comes to bear upon our current value set. And I feel such an urgency in my heart
yes.
to call us to embrace this, to lean into this, where there is that gap, as Corey said, or where there's this dissonance, or where we're living in a perpendicular way to the values of the kingdom. We must repent.
Yes.
For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must recognize that a collision is on the way. In some quadrants, it's already coming. We've seen shakings. We've seen all sorts of ways that the Lord is impressing his kingdom upon the church. But I don't think we've even scratched the surface yet.
I keep thinking this whole beginning of this session, I'm thinking of John 18:36. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world.
Mm.
He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. And I think even as we're talking about the kingdom, the culture, you know, you wrote a book, Culture of the Kingdom, yes, around this. I call it the wineskin for revival, the constitution of the kingdom.
Yes.
I call it the declaration of dependence. Mm. All these different phrases, because we have been ushered out of the kingdom of this world and brought into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Yes.
And in a kingdom, there's a king.
Yep.
And in by the king's dominion and by his rule, there's a value system,
yep,
that fills, that everyone buys into.
Yes.
There's a king. There's a value system in every home, in every family, in every system. And the kingdom, the culture of the kingdom, is what Jesus lays out, yes, in Matthew 5, 6, yes, and 7. For me, what got me in, and because both me and you are just so gripped for revival, it's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for,
yes,
righteousness. I would say that was the key that opened up the whole thing. Because I'm just a dude hungry for revival. I just want God to move.
Absolutely.
And for more glory to hit my meeting. And yet I couldn't get away. There's no verse in Scripture that gives language to the desperate cry of the human heart.
Yes.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, mm-hmm, for they shall be filled. And when I began to go on a journey, that's what got me into the room. But then I began to realize, oh my goodness, this whole thing is about, it's more than just being hungry for a good meeting. It's a complete change of life, values, time, money, sexuality, every area of your life.
Absolutely.
Relationships.
Yeah.
It involves, it's so holistic as, yes, it revolves of coming into this kingdom,
yes, yes,
buying into,
yes,
it, to position yourself to walk in glory and walk in fullness.
And I think sometimes we don't have clarity on the kingdom.
Yes.
It's sort of this, we almost make it like the kingdom is the force, or the kingdom is, you know, some ethereal, mystical power or something. And we really have to dial into this truth. Jesus Christ is God's chosen king.
Yes.
We did a whole season in Gripped from Psalm 2.
That's right.
We talked about how Jesus is God's chosen king.
I have set my king.
Yes, on my holy hill of Zion.
Yes.
And the Lord laughs at anybody who tries to stand in opposition to his chosen king, his chosen ruler. Well, when Jesus shows up, he says, I'm a king, this is my kingdom, and these are the values of my kingdom. And that's what we have to catch, that in the kingdom of God, in the reign of Jesus Christ, in the actual reign that he is right now at the right hand of the Father,
yes,
and in the reign when he comes and rules and reigns on the earth, there is a value system that the entire kingdom is run by, and it's not going to change.
Yes.
It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's these core values. It's these corrections. It's these righteous foundations. This is the value system. This is the culture. If you ask Jesus, you know, if he were to walk through the wall and he said, how do you live? He would pull out the Sermon on
Absolutely.
The Mount. He would show us his values. Friends, this is the biggest point I can think of. If somehow the values of our Christianity doesn't look like the values of Christ, our Christianity is askew. At the very least, it's askew. At the very worst, it's a perversion of what's true. And if somehow the values of our churches and our church culture and our houses of prayer don't look like the value system of the kingdom of God, they are askew at the least. But at the very worst, a perversion of Christianity. And we need to return. And I,
yes,
tell you, the Lord has put Hosea 6 on my heart this week in such a big way. Come, let us return to the Lord. He is torn, but he will heal. He's going to bind us up, and he's going to revive us. And I'm just telling you, there is a return to the simplicity of devotion, the simplicity of Christ. There is a return to the values of Jesus Christ. And in some of our lives, it's not even a return. It's a fresh revelation,
yes,
of understanding for the very first time, coming to a real choice where you're saying, am I going to continue to live the values that I've been taught, that I grew up with? Am I going to continue to live the values of a church culture that in some ways, in many ways, doesn't look like the values of the kingdom? Or am I going to actually return to the Lord and embrace his values, live them, repent where I've been off, and walk this thing out in my life? This is what's before the church right now.
That's right.
Will we say yes to Jesus and his value system, or will we continue to play church?
Yeah.
We continue to make it up as we go along, and whatever feels good, whatever gets likes and clicks, and we just keep doing the deal.
Yeah, the greatest curse of contemporary Christianity is superficiality. It's superficiality, which is a plastic. It has a form, but it's plastic in reality. And we have become big statements, one-liners, phrases. See, this is I want to talk in this first session and go to the very end of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
Because you were talking about skewed. If something's off from the beginning, Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine,
yes,
and does them.
Yes.
That's the key point. Both groups heard it. The ones who do it, I will liken to a man who built his house on the rock, and when the rains came, the floods came, and the winds came, that house stood. But the house, but the people who heard the message and did not do it was like a man who built his house on the sand. And when the rains, floods, and winds came, that house fell, and great was its fall.
Jesus.
I am burdened. Jesus. For this generation, for American Christianity,
Jesus.
For Gen Z, for Gen Alpha, for millennials, for this generation to come out of the deception of just hearing the message and being able to quote the message and being able to talk about it and being able to pontificate about it and articulate it. But at the end of the day, Jesus draws the line between the ones who heard it and did it or sought to begin to implement these realities into their lives and the ones who didn't. And friends, I think we're living with so much language,
yes,
in our culture, and nobody's actually seeking to do it, because as soon as we get pushed, as soon as someone comes at us, as soon as we hit a little bit of popularity or money, or as soon as we get a little bit of, we begin to ride a trend, then we begin to back off and coast. And Jesus invites us into living a certain way that will take us to the grave and then into the age to come.
Absolutely. It's in times of blessing or pressing that we actually get to figure out what's on the inside of us.
Yes.
You either get blessed to a place where now what's on the inside really starts taking, you know, front and center stage because you don't think you need God as much.
Yes.
Or you get pressed to what's in there finally comes out. And it's in those moments of blessing and pressing when we actually see what's on the inside, what you're actually living, and have you built your house on the rock. And the biggest challenge of that, you know, that exhortation is the house built on the sand, when the storms come, when the winds blow, when the rains rage, that house does not stand.
Yes.
It doesn't stand. And so there's an alarm in my soul right now that we've got to call ourselves. I've got to call myself,
yes,
my family, our church at Gate City in Atlanta. I have to call us to live this value system, because if we do not, it will not stand when trials, storms, winds, and rains come. And that's just real. That's not like alarmism. That's the words of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Christ. We must wake up in this hour and embrace these values.
The rains hit the rains hit the roof, the floods hit the basement, and the winds hit the walls. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's superficiality. We're not equipped. We're not prepared for both glory and shaking.
Yeah.
Or relational conflict or all kinds of pressure, warfare, because we've bought into language devoid of reality.
Yeah.
Friends, we're releasing a lifeline to you.
Yes.
We're embracing it and we're throwing it to you, saying, come out of the culture of this age.
Yes.
Come out of the culture you were bought into and come into the culture of the kingdom. Take your seat at the mountain. Over the next weeks and months, I want you to take your seat at the mountain.
Yes.
Young people, I want you to hear the words of Jesus and begin to ask honest questions, saying, are these things real in my life? What does this mean? How does this change everything? And if you take that posture and begin to bind yourself together, I want to invite you to do this in groups.
Yes.
I want to invite you to do this in Bible studies. It would be our desire that Bible studies would just erupt everywhere, all over the nations, and that would begin to prioritize these chapters because these are the most needed for where we're going in the days ahead.
The time is done for us to be educated beyond our level of obedience.
My goodness.
That is what the church has lived. We want to hear a new thing, new hearings,
yes,
new words,
yes,
new revelation, new video, a new podcast. No, 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 listen. Right now, we have got to quit all the hearing and get into some of the actuality of this, to walking the things out that we're hearing. We don't need a new message if we're not living the old one. So friends, this is the call right now. This is what we're asking you to do. Jump into the Sermon on the Mount with us over these next weeks and months, and let's go deep, and let's let this be our values transformation moment. Corey, let's just pray.
Yeah, let's just pray.
Hey!
Lord, we just ask you right now that you would open the heavens. Father, I pray. I pray right now that your glory would fill every car, would fill every living room, bedroom, fill every place, God, right now. I pray that you would bring Matthew 5, 6, and 7 to bear down on us, God. Every area of our lives, every area of our hearts, our eyes, everything, God. I just pray for your glory, that you would prepare us for coming glory and shaking. God, I pray that this generation would not fall. I pray that there would not be a falling away. God, I pray that you would root and ground a generation in the Word of God. And I pray that you would mark us in the name of Jesus. Use this podcast to train and to prepare young people for what is coming, Lord.
Seal these things in us. Seal these things in us, God. Spark us and put us on a journey of revelation and actuality. We thank you for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.